This is the Boop Show, some gaming news you can use for October 8th, 2015. I'm Scott Johnson. Hello. All right, what's going on? Pull up a chair, sit down, calm down, put your feet up. So you might imagine that I played a lot of Heroes of the Storm, and you'd be right, partly because of that new show we launched, Core, frogpants.com/core. By the way, thank you for those who listen to Boop who also listen to that and have given us such nice comments and have enjoyed the show. Got a new one coming out this weekend. Anyway, the reason I bring that up is it is amazing what that game is doing to me. And every once in a while, I'm just kind of shocked into the realization that I'm playing a competitive multiplayer title, team-based multiplayer title, in a way that I've not done so since maybe early Unreal Tournament days, maybe some of my Counter-Strike days back in the day. I've really not been this into this sort of thing in a very long time. Obviously a very different game, but you know, MOBAs weren't doing it for me before now. Now they're really doing it for me. At least this game is. So, yeah, playing a lot of that. And somebody, I mentioned last show, somebody had donated a copy of Mad Max to me. And I started playing that, and I'm pretty deep into it and really like it. I'm having a hard time reconciling user reviews on Steam and elsewhere compared to industry reviews. Usually, not always, but usually, depends on the source, but usually that stuff's more in line, but what I'm reading is just kind of all over the charts, and it seems like reviewers were generally average on the quality of the game, and players really, really like it, and I think I'm in their camp. I think I found my open world jam this year. I'm enjoying it more than I did Batman, and I like Batman a lot, but I think, you know, in all fairness, it's this giant, open, empty desert and a fiction I'm really into. I think that helps, right? Post-apocalyptic weirdos doing stuff to each other. It's kind of my jam. So I like it. I like it quite a bit. And even though a lot of the gameplay loops are very similar to what we've played for years now when it comes to these kinds of open world games, be it Assassin's Creed or, geez, I don't know what else. This one's a little bit more on par with the, what's the game called? You're on Mars. You used to be a big first-person shooter back in the PlayStation days, and it had, like, destructible stuff in PS2 days. What, Red Dirt. What is it called? Red Faction. That's it. Oh, I knew it would come if I just kept at it. That Red Faction guerrilla game, this is a lot like that in my mind, and I loved that. And I don't know what the general press take was on that game, but at the time I think it was pretty positive. Anyway, I really dig it, and I'm going to keep playing it, and it's great. Also, dust it off. Here it is right here. Dust it off the old Vita. Hear it? That's some buttons there. Why, you ask? Because Super Meat Boy went free on PSN, both PS4 and Vita versions, for the month of October 2015. So I thought, well, why not? I haven't played Meat Boy in a while. And I was greeted with two things. One, the realization that Meat Boy is still really great. That game is great. It's frustrating, but in a good way. Plays great on the handheld, feels good on those controls, and is still great. A great game. There's nothing wrong, and never was there anything wrong with Meat Boy. Super Meat Boy is one of the great indie games ever made, I think. Especially if you're looking at sort of an action category. The second thing I was greeted with is the entire soundtrack is gone and replaced with some garbage. So there must have been some rights issue, or somebody didn't have control of something, or I don't know. Original composer backed out. I don't know. But the music that is featured in the PC, 360, I guess PS3 had it, did they? Maybe they didn't. The old version of that game, the original version of that game, that awesome soundtrack is not in there. So I just want to throw that as a warning. You can turn it off, which I did, because it's bad. The old one was great. This soundtrack sucks. So, yeah, I've been playing that. Because, you know, Meat Boy. Settle in with me, won't you? Pull up a chair. Let's talk about the news. I already told you to pull up a chair. You already have a chair. I'm going to do that twice. What kind of host am I? So that video game voice actors guild thing, the threatening strike thing, that's happening now. They have voted overwhelmingly to do it. This is the Screen Actors Guild, American Federation of Television and Radio Artists, specifically. What's the acronym for that? TSAG, the AFTRA. Anyway, they announced the results of this vote, and the vote was 96.52% of the members of that group. These are voice actors who do a lot of video game voice acting work, along with other stuff, TV and movies and, you know, anime and whatever. In favor of the Interactive Media Agreement Strike Authorization Referendum, it's called. And this gives the National Board, I guess, some authority to say whether or not, or to declare a strike if they would like to. So if they want to do the strike, they have the votes to do it, and then they just freaking do it. SAVG-AFTRA. Anyway, they have met multiple times with publishers to try to find an agreement that hasn't happened. And this group says that the original template for the original agreement, which was signed and negotiated like 95, is still in place today despite, you know, huge changes in that business. There's radical changes in the way voice actors work. For one thing, 90% of the time now, if you're doing anything for like any sort of, it's not even just exclusive to AAA titles now, but you're in a big black suit with ping pong balls on it doing mocap. That was not happening in 1995 so much. Very different world we live in now. So anyway, I'm a little biased, I have to admit, in favor of the voice actors. Mostly on the conditions points. The money point is still an issue, and you know, could come up with some compromise there. But working conditions and initial pay and how long you keep a guy in a booth yelling at the top of his lungs and not care about his, you know, his voice, which is essentially his tool for making a living, he or she. A lot of those issues I think I agree with them on, and I'm a little biased because I have friends who work in that world. So I just wanted to disclaim that early because have some close friends there. I hear their plight a little more personally than perhaps others do, and maybe that's why I'm kind of on their side. But anyway, that's what's going on. Strike is imminent. Might mean either one of two things. Either they'll come up with a good deal, or your next video game may have some scab voice guy in it. Some non-card-carrying dude. Could be me. Oh, boy. Let's all say a silent prayer. That never happens. Call of Duty Black Ops 3 abilities include making enemies barf and attracting with swarms of drones. Well, that's exciting. The barf part reminds me of Minority Report, the movie. Remember the puke sticks the cops would use? They'd poke a perpetrator in the chest or whatever, and he would just suddenly go and start yakking. Apparently, this is something to that effect. And in this trailer, they have a gameplay trailer they just put up. This shows cybernetic modifications that you would use in the campaign. And they are designed to, quote, send enemies into a state of confusion. I call that Idaho. Leaving them exposed and vulnerable. It's done in a number of ways, one of which is to make them puke. Good times. Minecraft is adding a dramatic new feature. Ooh, all these years later, after selling it to whoever, Microsoft, right? They're adding a new feature, a big feature. And you know, Minecraft hasn't had, I don't think they've had anything major done to it in a while. It's all sort of been status quo and bring it to other platforms and grow your base, but I don't think they've done anything gameplay-wise that was kind of a big deal. But Jens Bergenstein announced via Twitter that you'll now be able to fly in the game as sort of a standard-ass thing to do. And we're not talking about create a mode where you're floating, right? Which is kind of what you're already doing. But it's going to be through what they're referring to as a magic cape. And they refer to it as a dramatic feature. It will come to Minecraft via the PC version, although other versions I'm sure it's coming to. In its next snapshot update, and then hopefully console version sometime later. That was not confirmed, however, so don't get too excited. There are animated GIFs on the site showing the cape in action. You fly real fast and you can traverse the world quickly, and I guess you have to unlock some kind of... I could be wrong in this, but you're going to have to unlock some kind of recipe, right? That's how that game works. It's all about the recipes. Free prologue missions to StarCraft II Legacy of the Void are out now and available. I haven't tried it yet. Should probably, right? I really dig that story, and that's kind of what I'm in for here. I don't really care about the competitive multiplayer because I'm not that competitive, but not in that game. But I'm very interested in the story, so I'm going to probably check that out this weekend. And these prologue missions are free to anybody who has the client. Actually, I think anybody can download it, right? Anyway, this is their 3.0 patch. And it's all for free. So go check those out, all right? And Legacy of the Void not out until November, so next month. So you're not going to see that for a little bit here. But anyway, this is what they say. Whispers of Oblivion, which lets you witness the beginning of the end of the through the eyes of Zeratul as he searches the galaxy in an effort to prevent impending doom. Let's see. To play these missions, you must select StarCraft II in the Battle.net client, then install the free starter pack. So you do not have to own previous versions of StarCraft to get into that. And if you do own it, that's fine too. Because you'll be able to play it either way. Far Cry Primal. Did you guys hear about this? Far Cry Primal is a thing. It's a real deal. And it's happening. There is a release date. There are gameplay details. There is a trailer. Ubisoft officially announced it. It's called Far Cry Primal. You are kind of a caveman in this very new take on the first-person shooter series that they're famous for. And you are inhabiting what they're referring to as the Savage Stone Age. And I seem like I'm being dismissive, but I'm actually not. This makes me interested in Far Cry again. I was not going to care if we were going to get Far Cry 5 and it was just going to be another Far Cry, right? Just iterate on, oh, we're in a jungle and there's a bad guy that runs stuff and he's a drug cartel, this and that, and you're a dude who got here kind of haphazardly and now you got to go, right? Don't care. Done that plenty. I either needed a break or I needed something new. And they're referring to this as a full-fledged single-player experience. It is set in 10,000 BC. The beasts you fight are not dinosaurs. Well, that we know of, because they haven't said and they haven't shown. But everything they're showing in the trailers feature massive beasts like, quote, the woolly mammoth and the saber-toothed tiger that ruled the earth, unquote. You play a character named Takar. And you're the final surviving hunter of a hunting group. And I guess your goal is to survive. And the trailer has nobody speaking English. It's all a bunch of oogla boogla, right? And they're I assume they'll be titles? Subtitles. What was that Mel Gibson movie where it was like this? He had one of these, right? It's the Aztec one. What was that called? Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. That was it. Anyway. I'm pretty excited, actually. I cannot believe I even care, but I do. They did a thing that's different, and I'm interested in different. So I say good on them, and let's all hope it's good. Windows 10 reached 110 million installs. This is a huge milestone for those guys. I think their plan to release Windows 10 for free, has paid off and given them the install base they wanted. That's a huge uptake of new versions of Windows for a lot of old users. And that's pretty awesome. And generally, these were statistics that were part of an overall presentation the other day that was very impressive. I'm super jazzed about the stuff Microsoft showed there, especially that book. What's it called? A Surface Book. Thing looked awesome. Discrete graphics chip in the keyboard fold-out thing, detachable as a tablet. You can play games on that thing, man. It's also expensive. Base price is like $1,700. A nicely configured one, about $2,700. Super slick, though. Comes with a stylus. Yeah, as a cartoony man, I'm kind of interested in maybe drawing on that thing and seeing what's up. But it's expensive. Anyway, That's pretty good. 110 million Windows installs. That's a lot of boxes running Windows, thus cementing, I think, Windows as, you know, the premier computer gaming platform, and there's just no way that's going anywhere. Steam hardware is getting a dedicated section at GameStop, of all places. You know, the devices that are all about downloading digital content and not discs and, you know, games that come in a box. But they've done it anyway. They've announced this major partnership. Valve's the one that actually made the announcement, with GameStop in the US and Game in the UK and EB Games in Canada. I thought EB Games got absorbed. They must have kept the name up there. And they've created a dedicated, quote, Steam sections, unquote. I guess they're not A, but some Steam sections at physical stores later this fall. So you should see them next, you know, 2 weeks to a month. Here's what you'll get. They showcase the Steam hardware devices. That includes all the launch stuff on November 10th. That has a Steam controller included. The Steam Link will be there. The Steam machines, which would be a variety of those, I would assume. Who knows how many. And then some prepaid Steam cards. So buy some hardware, then get a little thing. What is not included in this is the Vive, the Vive, the VR headset, because those are in much smaller availability, it turns out, and they're not really pushing those yet. So anyway, pretty interesting, huh? And they're exclusive. They're not going to work with anybody else on this. You can't go to Walmart and pick up this stuff. You have to go to GameStop. So they've made some sort of deal. And you got to kind of give it to GameStop for figuring out various ways, not just this, but other ways over time, to extend their brand further than its lifespan in a lot of ways. We have a call about digital versus physical and why people think I'm wrong, which we'll get to here in a minute. So stay tuned for that. But interesting stuff. Destiny is getting into the microtransactions business, and they claim it could generate hundreds of millions of dollars per year. Now, Bungie's decision to introduce microtransactions, of course, freaked everybody out and pissed everyone off. It didn't bother me none, because here's the deal. They're selling emotes, and which include dances and some other stuff. All cosmetic crap from a new vendor in the Citadel? Or is it, what was it, the Tower? Whatever it is. Fine. I am not in the market for such things. Now, if they start selling weapons and hard-to-get stuff or currencies that you'd otherwise have to earn in the game, and they start making it pay to win, then forget it. I'm out. But this isn't that big a deal. And if this does if this cosmetic stuff does generate that kind of revenue, what they're saying out loud is, well, this lets us have better ongoing development with their quote-unquote live team. And they can make it even more successful than it has been, which, you know, some would say, well, it's been successful enough. Why can't you do it with the money you got? But then again, think about it. They don't have a regular revenue model for this. There's no monthly subscription. This isn't an MMO in the traditional sense. And adding a feature like this doesn't sound too crazy to me. So I think it's fine. And if they make that kind of dough, that means it'll translate to better stuff for all of us as players. I hope. Because that game sure got better with this last update. More on that as we know it. What else? Metal Gear Solid 5 is offering... Oh, speaking of microtransactions, they're offering base insurance. This kind of drives me crazy, actually, a little bit. Via microtransactions. This is according to Konami. They did a little update about Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain. And you've got these event-forward operating base FOB missions. And part of this is a way to spend actual money. The update's supposed to come out on October 6th. This is largely focused on these forward base operation things. And, oops, hit the microphone, sorry. So the idea is that you can evade, it's basically Clash of Clans, so you can invade other people's bases and steal their stuff and take their people so that they'll salute you when you punch them back at your base. And the idea is if you get this insurance, which you pay for with real money, it will make it so you are not affected by these attacks. I think it's weird and I don't like it. So here's one I don't like. I think that is a bad move for a lot. There's a lot of goodwill about that game right now. I don't know why they want to muddy up that water by introducing what I think is kind of a game-breaking mess. What I'm not clear on is, can I just ignore that stuff and just do my single player stuff and forget about all that? Can I? Or are they going to come to my base and dink around? Six shooter Yosemite's not going to help me, is he? Right? Nintendo falls out of the top 100 global brands lists. Bland, that's a faux pas I didn't mean to make. Global brands list, and this is for the very first time ever. This is a big deal. The best global brands report for 2015. This is by the company Interbrand, and they've been doing this for a very, very long time. I think they started tracking in like 2000 or 2001, something like that. So it's been a while, 15 years or so. Nintendo didn't make the cut this time. Apple, Google, all these guys are on top. Microsoft's up in there, Sony. Let's see, where are those guys? Let's find out. Apple's number one, Google number two. Microsoft fourth place, Sony at 58. So I think this could just be a reflection of Nintendo's, I don't know, they just haven't adapted their business to keep up with like stuff, you know? I mean, why would they be 100 of the best global brands if they haven't had a lot of growth in the last year or two? They could get back in there though. They specifically pointed this out. This is from Interbrand. This is the CEO of Yuki Wada. That's his name. Yuki Wada. He is the CEO of Interbrand. Sorry, it's a Japanese company. He pointed out that Nintendo's long-standing unwillingness to release smartphone games is probably a huge problem. Of course, we're getting our first non-Pokemon full Nintendo thing by the end of the year, so maybe that will change, but his point is they just have not adapted to market conditions. And, you know, kind of hard to argue with him. I think he's probably right. Anyway, I don't know what this means, except they're not on that list, and I kind of feel bad for them, I guess. Speaking of more microtransactions, there are none in Star Wars Battlefront, according to a DICE dev. And also, by the way, that beta's out today, or yesterday, was it? I have not tried to download it. Very interested, though, in that. But the DICE is saying, nope. We're not putting microtransactions in this game, so don't freaking worry about it. A senior developer at DICE said this. Name wasn't given, though. It's always weird. But there is a currency system in the game. It's a system of points and credits. And the latter, the credits, you're going to be able to get more exotic and dangerous weapons with those. And usually when somebody starts introducing like a two-tiered system of currency in a game, that's usually a sign that something's coming, that they might go down the path of some weird microtransactions. And of course they're not, you know, no one ever says never, but they are saying none, at least at launch, or none. Yeah, you know, well, they say none in the game. So I'm going to take them at their word until they change that. I believe that is good news for us from a gameplay perspective. But even if they did, if later on they came in and said, look, we want to keep this game alive and keep it updated, and we're going to do like Destiny and have, you know, you can buy hats or whatever, helmets that don't really affect the gameplay, fine. I don't care. Either buy them or don't. I think that's fine. I mean, would I rather they spend some time on other parts of the game that maybe need more help? Sure, but yeah, I'm very excited about what that might actually mean. We'll see. One of a kind Satoru Iwata Memorial Amiibo is on sale, and it's there to raise money. There is only one. You can't get these at Walmart. You can't go hunt them down on Amazon and pay, you know, $20 for them. You're going to have to get it via this eBay listing. And it's pretty rad. They're donating 100% of the proceeds directly to Child's Play, a nonprofit charity providing children in hospital toys and video games. That's the Penny Arcade one. The current price, last I checked, it was $800 or just under $800, and has 3 days left on the item, so it'll probably go for a couple grand. And Gondachris made it. So this is not, by the way, not an official Nintendo thing, but it's pretty neat. I mean, that's important to note, right? They didn't make it. But I kind of wish they should would. That would have been cool. In fact, they should have made them limited edition, only a certain number ever made, and sell them for, you know, $100 or something each and have that go to a charity. I wish Nintendo would get out in front of these things a little bit more. They would benefit from that, I think. that music means it's time for emails and calls. If you want to call us, it's easy. 801-471-0462. Keep them about 30 seconds if you can. I'm starting to get these like 2.5 minute calls. I gotta not use those. So if you want your call on here, make them about 30 seconds, minute max. And, you know, keep it relevant, interesting. Better sound quality is always appreciated if you can. Sometimes you guys are recording these things on your speakerphone while you're mowing the lawn or something. Anyway, that's 801-471-0462 or boopshow@gmail.com. You can send your voicemail attachments and or voice messages, whatever you use, your voice memo apps. Or you can send regular emails there as well, including this one. We got an email from Colin who wrote in, says, "Hey, Scott, you've mentioned Notch a few times on your podcast. About how the guy now has all the money in the world but isn't happy. I think I've only talked about it once. Did I talk about it on other shows? I think that was it, though. Well, anyway. Says, it got me thinking as I was watching some of the Oculus Kinect 2 coverage. Someone will interview Tim Sweeney and then John Carmack. Those guys are multimillionaires, but they haven't gone down the same road. Gabe Newell is a millionaire or a billionaire. Think about that. But you still see pictures of him giving a presentation at a gaming show. And I would add to that, usually in like t-shirt and shorts. These guys are rich, but I don't think they are driven by money alone. I think they are driven by the work. I don't know what Notch needs, something to do, maybe a job at Valve or Microsoft, or to start his own company where he funds/angel invests upcoming game devs or whatever. Should probably talk to a therapist to figure out what might make him happy. Love the show. Boop, Colin. All right. I tend to agree with the part about most of the time. Some of the people with the most money and influence often are, not always, but often are very motivated and don't seem to, the money is not the end game for them. It's the creating things. It's the making things happen. It's the making change or leaving a mark or whatever. I absolutely agree with that. And that's true of the names you left there. Carmack's a great example of that. Gabe Newell, another good example. They're all good examples. Notch is in a weird place. He made this one game. It's the only one he really cared about making. He started another thing and then got bored and quit doing it. That space one, remember that? What was it called? It's like some number, 80588 or some number, whatever it was. And then he sells the thing for $2.5 billion, a large amount of that he got, and then that was it. And I think I don't know, we're all speculating here, but he may have thought that was the end game to get out of that rat race. And as it turns out, he needs to be back creating something. So if it were me, I always talk about this with my wife. Look, it's nearly impossible. Let's say one day, suddenly I have millions of dollars. I would be what I like to call a quiet millionaire. I've talked about it on the show, I think. I just wouldn't make a big deal out of it, and I'd keep making the stuff and doing the things I'd want to do. Because it's true. I don't think money is the end game. It doesn't. Money alone is never the happy place. You need real relationships, and you know, not that he doesn't have those. Again, I'm not making a judgment about where he's at in his life. I think that he could use a project. Let's put it that way. That probably make him happy. Got another email from... Oh, I didn't get his name. Dang it. Shoot, I apologize for this, but this is an interesting point. Regarding the GameStop physical disc story, you said anyone buying discs is smoking the crack. I would posit that the reverse is true, certainly for consoles. Proof? Reasons? Here are the first. The first two are not under the game maker's control, but there are issues for them. So I'm going to read these. But before I go that far, I never said that people buying discs is smoking crack. My point is people who think that those are going to be available forever are smoking crack. And more importantly, GameStop, if they are under the impression that one day discless entertainment is not in the future entirely, then they're crazy. That is just wishful thinking. And that's why I think they're out ahead of it in so many other ways. They know this. They're not stupid. Anyway, these first two are not under the same game. Okay, anyway, so the first one is bandwidth. This is a lesser problem that will dissipate, hopefully, over time. But still in the UK, true unlimited bandwidth internet is still the exception. I have it and pay it accordingly, but most packages are 10 to 40 gigabyte max. Try downloading a patch for some of the biggest games for that, much less for the game itself. All right, so bandwidth is a key. I agree. Now, I didn't say it was going to happen next Wednesday, by the way. It's going to take time. It is just the inevitable. That's all. That's all I'm saying. I don't even have a prediction for how soon. I mean, I could say with some clarity probably between the next 5 and 8 years, games are going to be digital and we're done with discs. I think that is probably a pretty fair estimate. But I'm not saying it's happening overnight anymore. Like, I believe one day we're all going to have self-driving cars, or we're going to be using them, maybe not even ones we own. They'll just be a service we subscribe to or something. That sounds crazy to a lot of people right now, but I think we're headed there. Will it happen next Wednesday? Nope. Nothing's happening next Wednesday. All right. Go ahead and do that day, whatever you want, because we're all good on Wednesday. Number two, broadband speed, linked to this first problem, but again, reducing the problem will take a long way, take some time to be solved. UK average speeds, this guy's in the UK, obviously, are around 8 megabytes, so a 40 to 50 gig download will take a long time. I pay for 72 down, 18 up, but this is a rarity. Okay, says now we get to the nasty bitch where 100% the studio slash console maker's fault. Three, account locking. I've not come across this much lately. Destiny is the first I've seen it. This is where anything bought on the account, i.e. DLC, etc., can only be played on that account. My son has Taken King, but I cannot play it on the PS4 as all the DLC is locked to his account. With a physical disc, I can simply play. Plus, you cannot loan to friends or family to try. Now, I agree with you that a lot of that is happening. I think that two things are going to happen. One, people will become more accustomed to that, and they won't. It's not going to change the momentum of us moving to digital. But moreover, they'll if people really don't want it to go that way, the demand will show up in the marketplace, and there will be ways for you to borrow and lend games. Steam does this to some degree now. My son can share my account, have all my games, borrow them when I'm not using them. There's lots of ways this is heading that direction. So yeah, you're right. Right now it's not great, but that stuff, that's the whole point. This stuff evolves and changes. So I agree that it's a problem. I do not think that is a roadblock that will stop this from happening. Finally, he says price fixing, and this is the big one. This seems to be a console specific as the PC side, on the PC side, seems to be console specific as the PC side. There is a lot of competition for the market, Steam, GOG, Green Man, all that. But the console market is a massive racket as there is only one place to buy, PSN or Microsoft Store. Now, you're right. But that changes. And I'll tell you what's happening right now. I don't know how it'll, you know, play out, but Valve and Steam, they're counting on this problem being a problem. They're counting on consumers, quickly or slowly, being fed up with the idea that they're locked into someone's ecosystem or another. And they want to provide that third tier that says, look, here's this universal box in the living room that plays whatever you want to play whenever you want to play it. But then you could argue, well, then that's now you're locked into Steam's ecosystem. Well, something else would come along. It's the way this stuff works, dude. It may mean that in 10 years, Sony and Microsoft aren't making consoles anymore. I don't know. I mean, it seems like a weird thing to say. But weirder things have happened. You could have told me in 1980 that Atari was going to disappear, and I wouldn't have believed you. You could have told me in... I don't know, the early Genesis days that Sega was going to falter and fall to crap and now were almost worthless and kind of making nothing as a publisher. And I wouldn't have believed you. This stuff changes. Nothing ever stays the same. Do you remember compact computers? Do you remember that? They were huge. Do you remember gateway computers with the cow prints on the side of the boxes? Remember when they were the biggest thing ever? What are they doing now? They exist. They're not what they were once. Remember when Apple was about bankrupt in 1994? Remember when they were just about to fall apart at the seams and completely be worthless and meaningless and have nothing to do with the industry that they were in ever again? They now have the largest market cap of any company in the world. Things change. So I'm not one of these things where just like, well, this is the situation, therefore no change will ever happen. I guarantee it will. Guaranteed. Price fixing or otherwise. That stuff just evolves. It changes. Also, internet and who gets it and how much they get, it's already changing at a rapid rate. Not rapid enough for some, including me. I wish it was a little rapider. another email about that. This is a lot of feedback about this topic, so bear with me here. Aaron wrote back and says, while I do agree that eventually most of the games in the future will be bought digitally, in present, I think there's still a large market for physical media in the gaming market. Unfortunately, not all of those are monetarily well off. When he says all of those, I think he means all of us. We trade in our games for credit for the next game. This is usually the case with adventure slash story games. I usually buy a physical disc and then let my cousin, who is currently out of a job, borrow the game for a while. We cannot do this with a digital game, at least not with the Xbox and Nintendo platforms, or Sony for that matter. So we actually hope that execs that recently said physical media games won't go away is correct. Yours truly, Aaron. Well, yeah, in the right now, I mean, I guess I just repeat my point. Right now, I agree with you. I'm not ready to throw out the baby with the bathwater just yet. And there are times where I'm like, I'm buying that physically because it makes sense to, for some reason, whatever it is. And this is a sensible reason you're doing this. But all of that stuff starts to change and consumers will only buy what makes sense to them. I would remind you that early in the, I'll use Apple as an example, early in the iTunes days, you were paying money for songs and that was a great new way for artists to get paid, for labels to get paid, and for you to get the music you wanted in a relatively cheap way and curb that all that piracy. But it had DRM. Guess who doesn't have DRM at all now? And if you would have told me in 2006 that one day they would not have DRM on any of that music, I wouldn't have believed you. But boom, there it is. Why? Market conditions, consumer demands, competition. All that stuff has an effect. It's so easy to get dour on this stuff, but history's a rising road. There's change, it evolves, it adapts, it iterates on itself. We're heading toward a future where I think people want it to be more bleak than it is. It's really not that big a deal. It will suss out and you'll get what you want because that's what the market will bear. That's the whole point of a free market. There's nobody forcing you to do anything. The market, the consumers force it the other way. Nobody's buying Blackberries, not because Blackberry is doing everything right and we're just not doing it. It's because they can't keep up with the competition and they're not able to provide something that's meaningful beyond what everybody else wants. And there was a time where you could have said BlackBerry would never be beat by anybody. So, time, baby. Time heals all wounds, right? Something like that.
Scotty Two Hotties. Scotty, my boy. How's it going? This is Alex from Livermore, California. Hey, man, listening to Boop Show. Love it, by the way. Thank you so much. I think you're underestimating how many people don't have the cash to just buy everything digitally. Look at a single-player game. Why would you put 40 gigs for something like Shadow of Mordor on your PS4? There's no multiplayer. You buy it, you beat it within the first couple months, and if you don't, you're probably never going to beat it. And you sell it back for $45 store credit, $35 cash. If you do it quickly enough, you can turn these games around and they pay for themselves. Anyway, I do agree that eventually it'll be a thing of the past, but I think it's going to last a lot longer because there's a lot of people who leverage that side of the used market. Have a great day, buddy.
Same deal. Just going to take time. I realize I've been a little redundant with these calls and emails today, but I think they all make good points. Just takes time, dude. Like you just said, and I agree.
Yeah, hey, Scott, Jesse Carlin. Hey, listen, man, I'm real sorry for not being able to call the past couple weeks. I landed myself in that hospital. I got real dehydrated, stuck in that cellar, trapped by all them dang raccoon dogs. Well, you know, I've just been wondering if you've been able to play some of that Mario Maker that came out for the Wii U. I ain't been able to play it too much because my hands are all bandaged up like like a big old Tootsie Roll looking thing, like a big old wrapper on my hand. So anyway, love to hear your thoughts. Love the show. God bless you, Boop.
All right. No, I have not played Mario Maker yet, and I feel like I'm a bit of a poo for not playing it. It's something I should just be dying to play. For whatever reason, though, I feel like it's a Christmas game, so I think I'm going to get it around December. It's too much going on right now. But when I've got a little time off, I'm going to just sit on a couch and play that like a ton. So yeah. I do want to do that. And I hear it's great. That's all anyone tells me. All my friends are like, dude, why aren't you playing it? Like, I don't know, man. Good stuff to do, people to see, things to pay for. I don't know. All right. Let's go off into the sunset together, shall we? Thank you all for listening. No music today. Too much other stuff. We filled up the time nicely. frogpants.com/boop. All things are there. If you need to find out what's up, where to find us, it's all free. Go check it out. frogpants.com/boop. And as always, Boop Show on Twitter. Don't mention that enough. We have a Reddit now, too. frogpants.reddit.com. Talk to other gamers, hang out, have some fun. And if you're up to it, support us at Patreon. patreon.com/frogpants. Every little bit helps and helps shows like this stay on the air. mucho, mucho appreciated for those who have. And if you haven't, consider it. If you find this stuff valuable, it's going to do it for me, guys. I hope you guys have a fantastic week. Stay out of the trouble. And let's get back together real soon now, shall we? Won't we? Can we? This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.